Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcaster named Sean Allen.
ASAP, another Sean Allen podcast.
ASAP, another Sean Allen podcast.
Spend my money on it. Pull the mic up to your mouth, that. Remember what I told you. Say something.
Hey.
You loud. Okay, tell me about the day I was born.
Well, actually, Sean, I wasn't in the delivery room.
Why weren't you in the delivery room?
Because I didn't have the stomach for it.
But were you in the delivery room with my sister?
No.
So both times you didn't watch us come out?
Hell no. Actually, I was at work when Shatera was born. And Gretchen's husband, Jesse, I was working with Jesse, and Jesse got the phone call, and he told me that Connie was at the hospital, and she was in labor.
Do you feel like you missed out on anything?
Missed out on what?
I watched so many babies be born on the internet in real life. It's not nasty to me.
Well, Sean, different strokes for different folks, you know?
And I think I got a weak stomach, too.
I had no interest in watching you and your sister pop out of your mama, okay? No interest.
Who was in a delivery room with my mom?
The doctor.
Wait, so you didn't have to. You could have been in on a backside and watching it come out like that versus looking from the hole part, you know what I mean?
No, I don't know.
you don't want no parts of it. Okay, so
that was not my thing. So, oh yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I could have been like at her shoulders.
Right.
Yeah.
But you didn't want no parts of it.
I wasn't available, Sean. I was at
work. Yeah.
I was at work.
Okay, so what hospital was I born at?
You were born in Kaiser.
Which one?
Pacific Coast Highway.
What city is that?
That's Harbor City.
I know, but the listeners don't know. So I was born.
It's Harbor City.
Harbor City, Kaiser.
Yeah, you cost me $5.
Because we had medical insurance.
Of course we had medical insurance.
Tip-top medical insurance.
You cost me $5, and that was to put a phone in your mother's room.
So listen, so I came early. I must have came early if you weren't at the hospital and you were at work.
Right? No, I was at work with Shatera.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So she came early.
Your mother had went to the hospital a day early.
Hold the mic up.
Your mother had went to the hospital a day early and didn't have you.
Okay.
So I went home, and then I got a phone call that she was going into the delivery room, but I couldn't make it before you popped out.
Okay, that's so funny. So how soon after I was born did you see me? Like right away?
Okay, your mother went over to Glow and Joe's.
Right.
Okay. And then your mother went to Glow and Joe's.
Right.
And then I went to Joe and Glow's and got you and took you home with me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So how did it feel being a father to a son the second time around?
Second time around, I've only got one son in a shoe.
Well, no, but your first one was my sister, then the second one is me. And we're, what, 6 years apart?
Yeah, so...
So...
You know, neither one of you guys were planned.
I don't think you should say that.
Why?
That's kind of ghetto. What do you mean? Oh, but you, okay, so listeners, let me say this. My mother and father were married. Right?
Of course we were married.
Okay, so, because I don't
What's your last name? Okay, what's your middle name?
Alan.
What's my middle name?
Alan. Thank you. We got the same name. Yeah. Only thing different is
that crazy name that your mother gave you.
So tell me about that, because I have a problem
Wait
with that.
Wait a minute, man. You want me to, I got a problem with that name too.
Then why'd you let it happen?
Because, Sean, you know, I had just bought that house.
What house?
On Haskins in Carson.
Okay.
I was working 12 hours a day. I had gutted that house.
And you didn't have time to fight my mom about the name.
I didn't have the energy.
Where did she get this name from?
I don't know. You know, Sean, can I be racial?
Yes.
Okay. That was back in the day
when everybody Martin was doing
came
black.
Out and there was Shaniqua and...
Yeah, you know, I can't believe that.
What?
I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you allowed my mom to give us these names that you didn't approve of.
It's not that I didn't approve of them. It's that I wasn't informed of them. Until after they were on the birth certificate.
Oh, so she did what she wanted to do.
Exactly, just like she, you know your mother. You know your mother. We hadn't decided on anything. Then the birth certificate comes and these two Shahs are on one Shah on your sister's and one Shah on you. I said, Lord have mercy, we got Martin in the house.
What was the coolest thing about me as a baby or a child? Was I a good baby? Did I cry a lot? Did I complain? Was I?
No, neither one of you guys cried.
Right. Who was more independent, though?
Who was more independent?
Me. Both the same?
I think because Shatara, she's, you know, 6 years is considerably older.
Right.
Okay, so...
Especially when you're that young. Now I feel like we're kind of the same age.
Well, yeah, it's kind of even itself out, you know, because life will do that to you. You guys were both independent. I have to say, though, I think it's probably the way that your mother approached Shatara.
Right.
As opposed to you.
So how was I as a child, though? Like, what do you, like, what was
Oh, you were good. You were good, Sean.
I didn't cry a lot. I wasn't a crybaby.
No, well, you know, you guys, I did everything that I possibly could for you. Everything that your mother wanted you to have, I found a way to get it.
We'll talk about that. We got a friend who carries a gun. He's not from here. He just moved out here. So all my friends, all of us who are from here, was like, we don't do that out here. We don't carry guns. You don't ride in people's cars and you have a gun. And, you know, our dad and our moms and our cousins, we're from here, so we don't have to roll like that. And I was like, my dad would literally, if I had a problem to where I had to carry a gun, my dad is a killer in them streets, so I don't have to roll like that. My dad ran the streets, and you go to the gas station with my dad in South Central, you're bound to see somebody he know, you know what I mean, or ran the streets with from back in the day, so I don't have to roll around L.A. and carry a gun. You know, I wasn't raised like that, you know, but I have access to that life if I wanted access to it, but my dad worked hard enough and built enough credibility in the streets to where his kids don't have to roll around fearing for their life. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right. And the same with your uncle and your aunt.
David and Donna.
Yeah.
They don't have to.
They didn't have any problems growing up.
Because you did all the work.
I did the legwork, yeah.
A characteristic I know that I picked up from you, I think I got from my mom too, but and she teared it. My sister didn't get this. Well, I think she got it, but what I do admire about you and what I've noticed that I got from you is that I'm able to, we're very versatile when it comes to socializing in people. We could be with the nerds or be with people in the streets. Like, you're extremely smart and you are extremely great with people. And that's a talent and that's a gift and that's a skill. And I got that from you.
You know what, Sean?
But my mom, too. My mom is very social and very good with people, too, but in a different way.
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying. It's like everybody's an individual.
Right.
Okay, now, if you don't know a person, then, of course, you can't be using profanity and vulgar, talking in vulgar terms and things like that. That's right. Something that's reserved for close friends or people that know each other better than just casually.
Right,
you know. So I guess what I'm trying to say, the bottom line is that you have to communicate with people on their own levels.
Yeah, a lot of people don't have that skill.
A lot of people don't get that.
To make it short, I think you could, what I took from you more so than my mom is that I could be placed in any environment and be comfortable and excel. It could be with the bougie people in Beverly Hills or it could be with the hood niggas in South Central LA. We can navigate both of those spaces comfortably, and I definitely get that from you.
I'm comfortable on 54th and Figueroa, and I'm comfortable in a boardroom in New York City. Okay.
Another thing I admire about you is how you went and just picked up a degree. At how old were you when you went back to school?
I think I was 52.
Yeah, that you're smart, you know. So,
3.7 GPA, boy.
You guys hear that? So my dad ain't no dummy. But yeah, that's one characteristic. That's one of the characteristics I picked up from you. Another thing I think we got the same too. People always ask me this, like, Sean, why are you always in hats? Why are you always in hats? My dad is a hat guy, and I just picked that up from my dad. You know,
A pair of Nikes and a fitted cap and some jeans.
And I'm ready good. To go, ready to go, ready to go.
I'm good.
So what have you learned from me though?
What have I learned from you?
Yeah.
You know what? Both of you guys, neither one of you guys have pissed me off. But excuse my language, you've never got me to the point to where I just say, fuck it.
Right.
I think that everybody has to learn that everybody, you know, people are just like blades of grass and a lawn. You know, no two of them are the same. And just like it boils back to what I said before about you communicate with people on your own levels and I'm on their own level. And I'm proud that my kids can talk intelligently. And you have a very, actually, you talk better than me. I don't know if your vocabulary is better than mine. But you talk better than me. I don't know, maybe because there's an age difference or...
I think so on this side of the family, we all speak well. On this side of the family.
Yeah, on the Thomas side, yeah, we sure do.
Yeah, we all speak well and... It's a little bit, they're both sides of the family is classy, but one side is more refined and the other side is a little bit more, well, and there's individuals, so I'm not even about to.
Okay,
I don't want nobody to think I'm being shady.
So this is the way we're going to describe these two sets of families.
Put the mic to your mouth.
This is the way we're going to describe these two sets of families. The side is a mixture of the Jeffersons and my wife and kids.
And what's the Guillory side?
Beverly Hillbillies.
But what
stop and get that roadkill, Sean.
Tell us about Grandpa too. I like to tell people, when people be like, how'd you end up in the valley? Why are you in the valley? And I'm like, I have valley roots, actually. Like real LA valley roots.
So what do you guys want
to
know about my father?
Pioneer. So What
do you want to know about my father?
I keep telling my dad to sit up because he's so comfortable. Tell us about, like, I like when you tell me that story about, like, the 7-Eleven, how he was the first black to own a 7-Eleven.
David Walter Thomas.
My grandfather.
Was one of the first black graduates from the RCA Institute of Technology. And after he graduated from that... that school, he was recruited by Packard Bell, which there is no more Bell, but the Packard is still in Hewlett.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Packer.
Right, right.
He went to, he continued his education. He went to college at night. I think he went to Cal State LA.
Right.
Okay. And he took computer programming. He went to work for North American Aviation, which later became North American Rockwell, and he was a computer programmer, and he actually was instrumental in all the computer processing for the Apollo projects, from Apollo 1 through Apollo 13. He was there for all the test flights. He was there at Houston Control. Now, this is a black man.
Right.
In the early 60s, in the late 60s. You know, so...
Wow.
I'm very proud of him. He was first black owner of 7-Eleven.
Right.
And... Hanson Dam, Lakeview Terrace.
Pacoima, Lakeview Terrace.
It's right above Pacoima.
Yeah, I know exactly where that's at.
Hanson Dam, where...
Glen Oaks.
Yeah, where... what's his name? Rodney King got beat up.
I live right there, too.
Yeah, Rodney King got beat up at Hanson Dam by the LAPD. What else did he do? He went to work for...
Wait, didn't they have restaurants and stuff, too?
Yeah, he had a restaurant. He had a restaurant.
And this was back in the 60s, in the 70s?
Yeah, he had a restaurant. I'm thinking, did he have the restaurant first, or did he have the 7-Eleven first? But Did he have the restaurant first or did he have the 7-Eleven first? I think he had the restaurant first.
Okay.
And I hated that restaurant.
Why'd you hate it?
Oh, man. You ever clean 500 pounds of chitlins?
Child labor. Where was the restaurant? In the valley?
It was right across the street from White Field, Whitman Field, the airport.
Oh,
the
wow.
airport out there, right across the street from
it. That's by, yeah. That's by, in Pacoima.
Yeah.
Off of San Fernando and I know, I mean, Osborne.
Okay. But I hated the damn restaurant. I hated the 7-Eleven.
What was the name of the restaurant?
It was Dave's.
Wow. So why was it all the way up there and not down here? It was cheaper up there?
Sean, I don't know. I don't know, man.
Because you guys never lived in the valley.
No, I can't stand the valley. I cannot stand San Fernando Valley.
Yeah, I mean, I'm there, and that's my home, so you got to get used to it.
No, I don't have to get used to it. Well, Grandma Jeanette lived out there. I couldn't stand that valley.
And where'd she live at? In Reseda?
She lived in Reseda on Victory.
Wow.
Across the street from Reseda Park. Yeah.
That's crazy. That's like my stomping ground. It's like, it's crazy how life becomes like almost full circle. Because now I'm there and that's my stomping grounds. You know what I mean? I feel comfortable up there.
You know, when I was in the military, a sergeant walked up to me one day. I don't know why we had this dialogue, but he said, Thomas, you know, the world is not as big as you think it is. You're going to, everybody you see today, you will see some other time in your life.
Right.
And I've come to believe that. I was born out here in 1956.
What hospital were you born at?
White Memorial.
I didn't even know that. That's over there where the Mexicans live at.
That's on the east side of town. And I wonder why a black man and woman living on the west side of Los Angeles in the early 50s, in the late 50s, had to go to East L.A. to have a child.
Oh, so that was like some racist.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
So when you guys lived over on the west side, it was like, was it black people over there? Or?
Yeah.
But you couldn't go to the hospital?
No.
Wow, that's crazy. I didn't know that.
John, your grandfather had
He
had a TV repair business. He had vending machines.
Oh, he was a hustler, entrepreneur.
Yeah, you know, I think when he bought his house, I was so disappointed that we were moving from West LA that I asked him why, and he said that, well, quite simply, he said he was paying $175 for rent, and after he crunched the numbers on the house, the house note was $143.
Oh,
and
wow.
It had an extra bathroom and another bedroom.
Right.
Yeah. So.
But it was first, but so why did you want to stay in West LA?
Why?
Yeah.
Because I was growing up there.
Yeah.
You know, I had went to school there. All my friends were there. Plus, I had never lived around white people.
Right.
So I was, when I got here, I was every kind of nigger I could be.
Really?
Oh, man.
Wow.
You kidding me? We were the only blacks in this neighborhood.
Wow.
You kidding me? I had fights with every white boy in this neighborhood.
And none of them are here. Y'all ran them out.
No, they ran themselves out.
So where did the white people move when you guys started coming down here and buying houses? Where did they go? To the valley?
East.
To the Inland Empire and
the
all
valley,
that.
San Fernando Valley was relatively full.
And Pacoima was kind of always black, kind
of? No.
It wasn't?
Pacoima, like when Grandma Jeanette moved out to Pacoima, it was like ranches and farmland.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There was a ranch down the street from her. And I used to take her apples and go feed the horses.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right across the street from Reseda Park. I know exactly what it's.
No, little... she lived in Pacoima on Foothill and Osborne first.
Okay.
Okay.
All the way up there by the mountain.
Yeah.
All the way up there, yeah.
Well, they're not mountains, Sean. They're foothills.
I mean, tomato, those are mountains.
Those are foothills. You haven't been up on a mountain.
I live there, so I know what I see every day. That's a mountain.
Those are foothills, man. I've been 12,000 feet up on a mountain summit. Okay. That's a mountain. That's a mountain. It's not a foothill.
So you said the white people moved east. Where did they go?
Hey. You remember Mount Charleston?
Yeah. That's in Las Vegas.
Yeah. I used to do a retreat up there once a year, twice a year. At the top of Mount Charleston. It was 12,000 feet.
What kind of retreat? Cooking? Chef?
No. Yeah, cook. Of course. Chef. That was my business.
We're not going to say cooking because he got a culinary degree, and cooking, he sounds, I don't want to take away from your.
It sounds too McDonald-ish.
Yeah, he was a chef, a private, well-paid chef. So don't be trying to, anybody listening to this who have events and want some fine dining, you know, you got my dad on the line.
Oh, but you got to pay.
You got to pay. So listen to this. I want to get back to where did white people move? Where did they move? Back east. You said down east, out east.
Where do you think the Inland Empire?
Orange County,
Inland
Empire.
Where do you think the Inland Empire came from? All that used to be farm and ranch land.
Right.
Where your grandmother and grandfather, right. Glowing Joe, lived. That was all farmland. And so, or just vacant desert.
Right.
So they built subdivisions. Victorville, all that shit. I remember when all that shit was just dusty.
Wow.
Just dusty. This home is the same age as me. It was built the same year I was born.
Oh, wow. It's in good shape, too.
And it's worth $1 million.
Yeah. Paid off.
And it's been paid off.
Yeah.
It's been paid off. So, yeah, that's exactly right. Northrop built this track of homes, this subdivision, because they were moving their facility from Lancaster to Hawthorne, and their employees were complaining about the commute time, so they had the subdivision built.
But all the, oh yeah, because all the aerospace is down here anyway, in South Bay.
You had Hughes, you had Northrop, I think Lockheed is in Burbank and McDonnell Douglas is in Long Beach.
Lockheed was in Burbank. It's not anymore.
It's not.
They turned it into the airport. It's the Burbank Airport.
Okay.
And like the Disney lot was something too. So that's how all those studios, when you go to like the Disney lot and when you go to the Warner Brothers lot and the hangars are so big, that's where that whole concept of studio came from. Because those were all.
Those were sound stages.
Sound stages. Those were all airport hangars.
Yeah.
And it was able. It was easy and cheap for them. Besides the weather.
Well, you got to remember too that Howard Hughes was out there in the desert building those crazy planes that he was building and test flying them and et cetera, et cetera.
How did you and my mom meet?
Okay, let me tell you. Let me give you a little background on myself. I'm the black guy that came from the west side of Los Angeles back in the mid-60s. Always talked like I was educated, hated school. So, let's fast forward this. I had to go to night school. That's how I met your mother. She was secretary at night school.
Oh, my mom was a secretary at night school.
Yeah.
So she knew how to type.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's how I met your mother.
What school was this?
Gardena High.
Wow.
So, I think it was like 2 weeks later, I was entry-level management for a well-known company. And I walk in and your mother's on the floor. She's been hired. It was on and popping there.
Oh, God. Here we go.
She had been hired. Also hired your
my uncle Jesse, right?
No, that was another company. Gretchen.
Oh, wow.
Auntie. Gretchen worked for me too.
See, I don't know that part. I know about you and my mom, but I didn't know you was
everybody.
You was
but
the plug. You employed the whole family.
Everybody but the little prince guy.
Wayne, Uncle Wayne.
Everybody. I couldn't stand Wayne. I still can't stand Wayne.
I mean, that's my uncle, so.
I don't care what he is. He had nothing to me.
And you know, my mom is crazy about him. They're crazy about each other. And it's just like.
Well, you know, if you look at the four kids, Connie, Gretchen, Joe, and Wayne. Gretchen and Joe
are alike.
Alike, and yeah. Connie and Wayne are exactly alike. Yeah. So
that's funny, but they're close. I mean, that's my uncle. My uncle young, so.
No, your uncle's not young.
He is. Your uncle, he act like he my age.
Your uncle paints his head.
he came to my house. It's in the mic.
I get off work one day, and I come home. I see Wayne's car. I go upstairs and open my door. He laying on the sofa in his drawers. He got half my refrigerator on top of the counter. I said, you got to go, man. You got to go.
And my mom just let him, a grown man with 10 kids.
Yeah. She just let him do that.
Yeah.
You know, I said, you got to go. You got to get out of my house.
What's the best part of being a dad?
Is watching your kids turn into be productive people.
That's a good one. And I think you're enjoying your granddaughter a lot.
That's my baby.
You know, this is the Father's Day episode. What advice do you have for any young fathers or any fathers listening to us right now? State your closing words, Michael.
Well, I can tell you this. I try to treat my kids the way I want to be treated. Life will twist you. But I've never laid my hands on my kids. And you have to let young people explore the things that they think they're interested in. And maybe one of these things will stick with them, and maybe it won't. But you have to give them time. You have to let the kids use their own minds. You have to let their minds and responsibilities and morals and all those other things that make people good people, you have to give them time to develop, and you have to encourage them or discourage them when they make wrong decisions.
Let me say that.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.